This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
I believe in societal norms.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
I said already, Don, it was embarrassing. Don't scream
don't
at me on the show.
Defend them.
It was horrifying.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's Andrew Gundling.
You couldn't possibly understand the hurt.
Andrew Gundling in for ENN tonight. Peter is here, Don as well, leading you up to Carlin. Filling in for him is Dan Grasso, and then we'll have the Home Run Derby right here following him at 8 o'clock. Let's start tonight by saying hello to Don.
I make a nice steak.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
And a hello to Peter as well.
Oh, no. What?
And we haven't heard from him in a while, so let's say hello to Michael, too.
What's in your pocket?
I assume when you don't use a drop, from that day, that it was a perfect day for you. So I guess it was a perfect day for Peter. Good for
really?
You, Peter. Good job. Good job.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I take it that way, but thank you, Don.
Oh, that's the way I take it.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much.
Peter, to start out ENN tonight, I don't know if you wanted to pay off your jersey guessing game.
Oh, he wants to. You better.
Yeah, I think I have to.
I know people are very curious.
All right, you guys ready?
So just to be clear, you want to reset with what happened earlier in the show for sure.
Earlier in the program, I was going through a few jerseys here. Okay, do you want me to do this visually, Don, and reveal the jerseys to you?
Oh, that would be spectacular. I mean, I won't be able to appreciate it, but an audience that's in real time can.
Well, I think we have to do it based on it getting to you, Andrew. You set the scene. I'll grab the jerseys.
So Peter, I guess, was going through his storage and found four authentic jerseys that he had purchased somewhere between the years of 1998 and 2002. And they're all, for Peter, they're all very random. They're not teams that he roots for.
No.
Some of the players are, you'll find out. I mean, you can decide for yourself just how random those players are. But the hints that he gave, he had told us earlier in the show that if you could guess all four, then he would send you all four of the jerseys. But you had to guess all of them. It was not like if you get one for four, you get the one. The teams were the Packers, the Vikings, the Saints, and the Denver Nuggets.
That's right.
And like we said, it was somewhere between the years of 1998 and 2002, one player from each of those teams.
No one got more than two. I scoured Twitter. No one guessed more than two. Don, do you see the jersey in my hand?
Oh, so you did go. I'm surprised that you did have the Brett Favre.
So the easiest guess of the bunch, I would say the only truly, absolutely straightforward was this number four Brett Favre authentic jersey. Nike, by the way, in case you're wondering, size 44 large.
Such a front runner.
I was a Favre fan. I enjoyed Favre. And with football jerseys, I just liked it. This was a time in hip-hop where wearing jerseys was such a thing. I just wanted jerseys. Don, right. You tell us when you see the next one pop up on your screen.
Okay. So this is back in the day where you're wearing the throwback jersey, the Timberlands.
They weren't even throwback yet. People were wearing not throwbacks then. They were just wearing jerseys.
Jerseys, Timberlands, and I could see your boxer shorts.
I mean, I wasn't in TLC, but
Don, are you seeing the jersey yet?
Now, there you go. The number two Saints jersey.
He doesn't know. No. He still doesn't know who it is. That would be Mr. Virginia Tech's own, Mr. Aaron Brooks.
Okay.
Now,
That's random.
That was a tough one. This next one is easy. And many people guessed this, although a lot of people went Culpepper or Moss. If you have paid attention to what I've said on the show, and Andrew, you might remember this, and Don, you might too. I have talked about my fascination with the 98 Vikings quite a bit. And particularly what I loved about them was that this longtime player who I had to deal with as a Washington rival was the guy who had his best season ever in Minnesota. And that's number seven, Mr. Randall Cunningham.
Yeah. I hate that guy.
So exactly.
With all the respect in the world.
Oh, yeah.
He killed the Giants as an Eagle. He killed the Giants as a Viking.
He just killed the Giants.
I've got no use for the guy, but I respect him.
So, Peter, I want to do this as respectfully as possible because I don't want another Brazil Euro situation. I could see why you would say this. Did you say Aaron Brooks was Virginia Tech? Because I believe he was Virginia. But I could see why you'd say that because he's related to the Vicks.
Sorry. I'm sorry. He was Virginia?
He's Virginia. But he's related.
But he's from,
cousin, he's from Newport News, Virginia.
He's from Newport News and he's cousins with the Vicks.
Yeah.
You know what?
Easy
thank
mistake.
You. No, thank you. And I'm glad you brought up Brazil and the Euros. Because you said that this jersey that I was holding, this is the one, this authentic jersey that I was given to as a gift by my ex-girlfriend on my birthday many moons ago. This is the jersey that Andrew said would make it impossible, impossible for anyone to get.
Right.
This Nuggets number 31, Nene Hilario jersey.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And what makes this special, and I only got it because he was Brazilian, and I was super into all things Brazil at that time, speaking Portuguese, you know, etc. The really interesting thing about this jersey, you may notice one thing. Andrew, does anything stand out about it to you? You're a basketball nerd.
Well, isn't it usually his just Nene that's on the back, not Hilario?
That's right.
This was the only time he had a jersey that said Hilario.
Yeah, I was going to say that looked unusual.
It switched to Nene. And there it is. Nene, Randall Cunningham, Aaron Brooks, and Brett Favre.
And what was Nene's timeline in Denver?
His rookie year was 02-03.
Okay, so that was the one where you said it was more.
That's where
like
I said it might have been 03. It was 02-03.
So there you go. For what it's worth, I don't have it in front of me, but someone, the one that I said was ungettable, I believe somebody did actually guess Nene. But
yes.
But they didn't get the other one. So
I know, I saw one person get Nene.
Incredible. Good for that person. That's a great job by them. All right, guys, ENN tonight, the All-Star break, it is upon us. Like I said, you can hear the Home Run Derby tonight right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Coverage is at 8 o'clock.
Aaron Brooks.
It's a bracket format. The matchups are Otani versus Juan Soto, Salvador Perez against Pete Alonso, Joey Gallo versus Trevor Story, and Matt Olson against Trey Mancini. Otani, if you're looking to bet on this, Otani is the favorite at plus 300.
He's plus 300?
Yeah, Joey Gallo second at plus 450, and then New York Mets' own Pete Alonso is third at plus 500.
Don, can you do me a favor? I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but can you imagine for me, could you pretend place a bet for me in New Jersey on Otani if I was to ask you to do that?
Sure. I've got BetMGM up here right now.
You know, I'm a FanDuel guy myself, so I'll need you to log into that for me. But I like him at plus 300. Because, yes, he's the favorite, because none of them are actually, you know, favorites. So plus 300 for Otani? I like it.
Yeah, I could see. I mean, because the weird thing about the Home Run Derby is that you can own the night without winning it.
Yeah, that's true.
So, that is true.
You know, like if his second round he puts up an obscene number, that's great, and he'll be the headliner from the night. But he could exhaust himself, and then somebody else could take advantage of that and find a way to beat him. So it's tough. It's a tough thing to bet on.
It is, and he could wear out. He's a huge dude, but he also hits home runs effortlessly, Andrew.
True.
So I could see it just really looking like bad. Like there are sometimes dudes in there who hit home runs, but it takes all of their swing to hit home runs. That's not Otani. Otani can hit it off the end of his bat the other way, and it just falls out.
Yeah, it's a pretty smooth swing. Not necessarily like a really hard, herky-jerky kind
Don,
of swing.
Don, I sent you a text message. I'd love for you to check it out.
Oh, it's done.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you.
Let's see. Obviously, a lot of the New York area is going to be rooting for Pete Alonso to defend his crown. He won it in 2019. There was no home run derby last year. But, of course, like we said, most eyeballs are going to be on Otani. Pete Alonso was asked if he's excited to also be watching Otani.
I mean, yes, he's extremely talented, but I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission tonight.
Pete Alonso takes this very, very seriously. So he doesn't sound too interested in anybody else other than his own performance.
Now, are you okay, Peter?
Hmm.
BetMGM has him at plus 200.
Ooh. Bear. Simmer. What are the full lines there at BetMGM, Don?
I got Otani plus 200.
Okay.
Gallo at plus 350, Alonso at plus 500, Olsen plus 700, Story plus 900, Perez, Soto, Perez and Mancini at plus 1600, Soto is a plus 1000.
Mm.
Just hearing how seriously Alonso takes this, he's won it before, so maybe he knows how to pace himself. Plus 500?
See, all of a sudden, when Ohtani dropped to plus 200, he's instantly less appealing. At 300, you're getting real pay there. Plus 200, I no longer would want him. Who's appealing there is showing the Orioles love. Do I show the Oriole love and just throw a 20 spot on Trey Mancini at plus 1,600? Like, why not? Now, he only has 16 home runs this season, Dom, but he's not a small guy. He's 6'3", 230.
So what am I doing here?
We'll text. We'll talk. We'll talk privately. We'll talk offline.
I will say, if you're a pure neutral tonight, Trey Mancini, he missed last season battling colon cancer. The fact that he's in this event, 16 home runs, 55 RBIs this season, he is, I find, very easy to root for tonight. So best of luck to him.
How about this? If you want a little love for Mancini, just the final, Ohtani versus Mancini plus 1,400.
But it has to be both, or is that for Mancini, just Mancini to get there?
No, that's for the both to make it to the final.
I'd rather just go, I feel like Mancini to win the whole thing, because now you're asking for two people to do something.
Yeah, but it's plus 1,400.
That is sexy.
Let's see. All-Star Game lineups were announced today. Aaron Judge is going to be hitting cleanup for the American League, playing right field. Ohtani's going to be pitching and leading off as the DH. Kevin Cash, who's managing the AL, spoke about Major League Baseball tweaking the rules to give the fans what they want with regards to Ohtani.
For this game, we're going to be allowed to use Shohei as two players. He will be the starting pitcher and the DH, and when he's done pitching, he can remain in the game, and then we can transfer in the next DH after his day is over at the plate.
Good job by them. Sometimes we say baseball takes itself too seriously. They're too rigid. So this is them understanding what the fans want and bending the rules to accommodate. I think that's cool.
Here's what's interesting. Okay? Let's say it was still attached, the outcome, to home field advantage for the World Series. Would they have done that?
No way.
See? So that alone is the reason why they should have got rid of that stupid rule, right? Because now with it being an exhibition, now you can have fun. But before, when it was attached to the home field advantage for the World Series, it would make it more meaningful. And by more meaningful, you mean boring and just like your typical game.
Essentially. Good for Rob Manfred and baseball to change things up a little bit there.
Sometimes the commissioner just runs into one.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's see, guys. Switching to basketball, NBA Finals. Bucks are climbing back into it. The Suns, now, I don't know if either of you saw this. If you didn't, I would tell you to pull up Twitter or YouTube, because the Suns may have lost last night, but they did pull off maybe the dunk of the year.
One of the best of all time.
Here's what it sounded like. Mike Breen on ABC.
And Johnson, he throws it down, and a blocking foul called on Tucker. Cameron Johnson soars and scores.
He pretty much jumped over P.J. Tucker.
And Tucker's reaction makes it for me.
He looks dumbfounded, but I think he's dumbfounded because he can't believe they called a foul.
He was just moving. Took the fun out of it. You're absolutely right. But still, that reaction, you could do with it what you want, but it made it for me. But you're right. It was because of the foul.
I have a question.
He puts it down!
I have a question. I'm going to be hard on our guy here. Did Mike Breen give that enough oomph?
I think so.
Let me hear it one more time.
And Johnson, he throws it down, and a blocking foul called on Tucker.
He got it.
Cameron Johnson soars and scores.
I'm sorry.
Breen basically cuts himself off.
Yeah, he does. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to test the Don Dada. I should not have. I should not have tested. It was a great job. Great call.
But, of course, that was a small side story because the Bucks got the real win last night, which was the game. So they're back in the series.
Oh, my God. But Andrew, what happened at the moment? Who was the dude on the Suns? I don't remember who it was. Who was like frustrated that Giannis was like pushing him around in the paint and went down late in the game like he was injured and was fine.
I don't remember.
Do you remember the moment I'm talking about? It wasn't Cam Johnson. It wasn't someone. It was just hilarious because I'm thinking in my mind of what I'd watched the night before, which was love the guy or hate him, and I lean towards the latter. Conor McGregor just had his foot snapped in half, and he conducted a full interview sitting on in the octagon. Yeah. Yeah. In the NBA, someone brushes up against you, and they go down like a ton of bricks.
You got to say, the NBA does not remind you remotely of like tough guys.
No.
You know, I'll go back to like a decade ago when Dwayne Wade separated his shoulder and had to be taken off on a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, that was like me when I got injured in that charity game. That's reasonable. But for a pro athlete, for pro athletes, you compare basketball players to UFC. UFC is obviously a special sort of breed. But, I mean, Conor McGregor gave an entire interview sitting in the octagon on the ground with Joe Rogan had to come sit on the ground next to him to conduct the interview.
And also, I don't know if you guys agree, but from what I understand is if the Bucks win the title in six, they're going to implode the arena on national television. Did you see like at the end of the game, like they almost couldn't do the post game. They're shooting off fireworks. You won one game. I know it's the first since 74. I get
it. They're excited.
But if you lose the next two games, who's going to care? You're exploding fireworks. My God.
And the scene outside of that stadium is even more incredible than the scene inside.
I know. And by the way, wasn't that exactly what the Lightning were talking trash to the Canadiens fans about?
I was going to say, Kucherov, the way he talked about the Canadian fans.
Oh, this is even worse.
He would be appalled by what happened with Milwaukee.
Yeah, it was a very interesting scene there. By the way, Andrew, I know we don't have that much time left.
Mm-hmm.
Did you include a story that relates to my team of interest?
The Celtics?
No.
Oh, Washington.
Washington football team.
So I believe I did. Do you want me to go to that?
Oh, I wouldn't mind.
You're making requests.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind. I'm sorry. I just want
not tough today, Rudda. Yeah, we'll go to that because we've all been getting very comfortable with the name Washington football team, but we were reminded today that that is only a placeholder. Team president Jason Wright on Monday said
good
that
friend of mine.
The new team name will have no linkage to Native American imagery. He said the team has undergone an inclusive process, particularly engaging the Native American community. And the feedback the team received on the nickname Warriors was that it made some uncomfortable. Washington plans to continue as the Washington football team this season and says it'll have a new permanent name in place for the 2022 season.
It's the right call. It's the right call to not do anything related to Native people. It's the right call.
Now, trying to figure out how to do it. Like futuristic. You know, in their logo, they try to get away from any kind of Native American connotation. So,
yeah, it's the right move. Right. Yeah.
But what I saw, though, the feedback, Peter, at least on social media, is people really starting to fall in love with the Washington football team.
I wouldn't hate it if they kept that.
I think by the end of this year, it's going to feel weird to change it. That's my prediction. WFT is going to be the thing. Like, don't you guys know the second you see WFT, don't you instantly know what it means?
Nah, not right away.
Oh, really?
Because of the other one.
Yeah, it's a little close. It's a little close.
A little close. Now, maybe, Peter, but maybe by the end of the year you'll be right. But my initial reaction is, yeah. Like my reaction to a lot of the decisions that they've made over the years.
Well said.
Let's see. One last one here, guys. One other basketball story. The Olympics begin a week from Friday in Tokyo. And USA Basketball had a tune-up game this past weekend on Saturday against Nigeria, which the U.S. lost. Nigeria is the 22nd ranked nation by FIBA. The U.S. is number one. Nigeria won 90-87 Saturday night in Las Vegas. It's the first time that a team from Africa has beaten Team USA in a game, exhibition or otherwise. Nigeria outscored Team USA 60-30 on three-point field goals.
Yikes, bikes.
Gabe Vincent, who I believe plays for the Heat, led all scorers with 21 points for Nigeria. Durant, Lillard, and Bradley Beal shot a combined 9 of 30 from the field. The U.S. Right. closed as 28.5-point favorites for this one.
And that would have paid out just, nice.
Yeah.
And just to show you just how people hate Giannis and not give him credit for anything, he played in that game for Nigeria.
Well, a lot of people this is what's incredible about Giannis, how little credit gets on. He not only played for Nigeria, played for the U.S. as well.
Yeah, for both.
And Greece had another game the same day. He's unbelievable.
That'll do it for ENN on this Monday.
There it is. Great job by Andrew, as usual. Great job by everybody participating in the show. We'll have a big one coming up at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Dan Grasso up next, filling in for Carlin, then the Home Run Derby. All that on 98.7 ESPN New York. And yes, take care.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.